This is from verse 15 to 31. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
Hannah, thank you so much for reading. Keep your Bibles open so we can see what God has to say to us. Not just my words, but what God is saying. Let's pray and we'll come to this passage together. Father God, thank you for the words of Jesus. Thank you that we have them preserved and recorded for us. Help us to take them seriously, to listen to them, to be encouraged, to see him and to know you. And we ask it for your glory. Amen. I wonder if you've ever asked the question, where is God? Where is he? People talk about God. Where is he? Maybe you've asked the question, how can I be connected with God? Some people use that language, don't they? Connected with God. And in the world that we live in at the moment, some people have called it maybe like a post-Christian world. And people have written about it. Hopefully on the slide there's a slide of a book. And this is a book called The Secular Age. Is it up there? And the writer of this book is trying to describe the world in which we live that's a bit post-Christian. It's a bit secular, and we're cut off from those sort of transcendent things. In fact, he calls the secular age a haunted age. He calls it haunted in the sense that, not that it's full of ghosts and things, but it's haunted by this idea of spiritual stuff. That long ago in the last century, we left God behind and we have the marvels of science. And isn't the world going to be great? And actually, people are realizing that that's not quite been the right answer. People are thinking, well, do we still need God? And we still grasp for God, or at the very least, for meaning. Here's the quote from that book. There is a widespread sense of loss here, if not always of God, then at least of meaning. So what he's trying to get at is to say that, oh, we're in this world of science and we don't need God, but there's a kind of loss of meaning. We think that that's not quite right. And maybe we are asking these questions, and we're asking this question this morning, why can't we see Jesus and why should we want to see him? Well, this is one of the reasons we should want to see him, because in a world which has done away with God, we sort of find ourselves tilting back towards something. We don't know quite what, do we? Another writer, Julian Barnes, puts it like this. I don't believe in God, but I miss him. And that sort of sums up the whole thing. I don't really believe in God, but I miss him. There's something not quite there. Maybe you've known people who have tried to answer this by being spiritual but not religious. Have you heard that? I'm spiritual but not religious. Well, actually, there's a flip danger as well, which is being religious but not spiritual. We think, oh, you know, actually, the good old days were a bit better, weren't they, when we were a Christian country. So maybe if I get myself to church or call myself a Christian, maybe that'll kind of change things somehow. And it's kind of being religious but not spiritual. It's not really knowing God. And so why should we seek the presence of God? Maybe you're here this morning and you're asking that question, well, okay, God's maybe not around, but why should I care anyway? Why should I want God to be around? Why should I be looking for him? Well, the Bible says the answer is this, really, that everything that is wrong in the world and everything that is wrong in your life is a result of the devastating loss of the presence of God. Everything wrong in the world, everything wrong in your life this morning is a direct result of the devastating loss of the presence of God. That's what people talk about in the fall, back in Genesis. Adam and Eve, our forefathers and mother, denied God, and now we're separated from the presence of God, and here we are. In a world of wrongdoing, we're broken off from God, and everything wrong is that result of the devastating loss of the presence of God. Therefore, seeing God, knowing the presence of God, that's a big deal, isn't it? That is a big deal. It's not just a nice-to-have spiritual dimension to life. I've got everything sorted. Let's get a bit of spiritual dimension. It's absolutely vital. And in the context of this chapter that we're in, one of the disciples, Judas, who's not the betraying Judas, he's another one, probably changed his name shortly after. In verse 21, have a look down. Jesus is saying, whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father too. And I, Jesus says, will love him and show myself to them. Well, that's what we want, isn't it? We want to see God. And then Judas, verse 27, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? We want everyone to know Jesus. Jesus, why are you showing yourself to us and not to the world? In this series that we're looking at, this is Jesus' last conversation before he dies with his disciples. He is in his bunker, as it were. We've talked about the similarities, perhaps, of a heist movie where the brains and the genius of the operation gets everyone together in their bunker and they go through the plan of what they're going to do to change the world and whatever it is. But at this point, when Jesus is doing it, he drops the bombshell of saying, oh, and by the way, guys, I'm not going to be here. I'm going. And the disciples have gone, oh my goodness, what do you mean you're going? And what Jesus means is he's going to the cross to die. And so all the way through this chapter, he's been talking about that. Look at chapter 14, verse 2. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And then in the passage that we're looking at this morning, verse 28, you heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. So Jesus is a communications genius, isn't he? He does the thing that everyone says you should do. He tells you what he's going to say. Verse 2, I'm going away. And then when he said it, he comes back at the end and tells everyone what he has just said. I've told you that I'm going away. But did you notice in verse 28, I've told you I'm going away and what? I am coming back to you. So Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm coming back. And it's no wonder, is it, that the disciples are confused. We're probably a bit confused. Jesus, are you coming or going? Where are you, Lord? How are you going to show yourself to us? A few weeks ago, there was a lady here that's often part of our church family when she's in the country. And she introduced me to her granddaughter, who was three, who wanted to come along to church with her grandma. And she asked the question, she said, Grandma, will God be there? Now, you might think that's cute and funny, which it kind of is, But it's a brilliant question. Will God be there? Well, Jesus is saying, yes, he will, because God is amongst his people. This is what we're going to find out. And we're seeing all the way through this series that the Holy Spirit is the one that enables Jesus to be revealed. So a couple of weeks ago when David was teaching us, he showed us how the Holy Spirit is sent to believers to not leave us as orphans, but to make us children of God, that we would know God as our Father. And here we're seeing that the Holy Spirit enables Jesus to be revealed in our love for the Son. So this is part one of the answer to that question, how will you show yourself to us and not to the world? Well, part one is in our love for the Son, which is word keeping. Look down at verse 23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Now, I wonder if you've been reading carefully, whether you think Jesus is being a little bit annoying here to Judy. He just said the same thing, hasn't he? Look again at verse 21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. So if you keep Jesus' commands, that's how the world will know that you love Jesus, and that's how Jesus knows that love, as we keep his commands. And then, he is the one that loves me. And in verse 21, second part, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So if you keep my commandments, the one who loves me keeps my commandments, and I will show myself to them. And now here's the question. But Lord, how do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Look at Jesus' reply. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to make our home with them. He's just repeated the same thing. So if you love Jesus, you'll be someone that keeps his word, and then the Father will come and make his home with you, and Jesus will be revealed to you. Well, how will you reveal yourself to us and not the world? Anyone who loves me will keep my commandments. And so Jesus sort of doubles down on it, but there is a bit of a difference. Have a look down. He says, my Father, in verse 23, will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So Jesus is not just talking about the time of the resurrection where he does show himself to the disciples. He's talking about the time when the Spirit is sent, and the Spirit helps us to know Jesus. And we've seen earlier in earlier weeks that the Father is in the Son. So God the Son and God the Father are intimately related, and they come to us in God the Spirit and reveal themselves to us. If what? If we keep his word. So those who love Jesus will see Jesus, if you like, in his word and by keeping his word and his commandments. Do you see what Jesus is saying? If you love me, you will keep my word, and you will know me and see me as I come to make my home within you by the Spirit. And what Jesus means is keeping and guarding and living by those words, that will in turn also reveal Jesus in the lives of his followers. Which is completely different, isn't it, to perhaps the way that our world likes to think. You ever thought about spiritual experience? You've been after a spiritual experience at any time in your life? Oh, I'd love a spiritual experience. Maybe it would kind of be a bit of an out-of-body thing, or maybe it's the thing that gives you the goosebumps, or that brings you to your knees, or in tears, or just gives you a deep sense of something or God's love. And we might think about what a spiritual experience is, but Jesus is saying, do you know what? Word-keeping, keeping my word, is a spiritual experience. Because that is what will bring a spiritual experience of the Holy Spirit, bringing Jesus' dwelling and knowing and seeing him. That the Spirit dwells in those who keep Jesus' word. That's what he's saying. And that's different, isn't it, too? Maybe you've been in different church circles as well, and you might have heard people talk about churches which are a bit more Spirit-filled, and then churches which are a bit more wordy, a bit more Bible, a bit more kind of intellectual, and then churches that are a bit more spiritual, a bit more feeling it. Well, that's not a distinction that the Bible makes. Because those who keep the words of Jesus are indwelt by the Spirit. That is a profound spiritual experience. The Spirit dwells among those who keep Jesus' word, which means to his whole word, his message of salvation, but also everything he says, that we would love it, we would treasure his word. So when Jesus says, don't give up meeting together, or when Jesus says, consider others better than yourself, or when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, or when Jesus says, you cannot love both God and money, he's asking us to keep and treasure his word, and avoiding those things, well, presumably, we're avoiding a spiritual experience of Jesus firsthand, as we avoid keeping his word. If there's an opportunity, perhaps, to reflect on a sermon or dive deeper into his word, well, why not take it? So we get that spiritual understanding, seeing Jesus all the more. We want to be a church which has Bible study leaders who are going to guide you into the word, to what Jesus is actually saying. Not what we think he's saying, but listening carefully. To know the Spirit, to see Jesus. But above all, when Jesus says, believe in me, that is his profound and big word to us. Verse 1 of chapter 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. That when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. That is the word, ultimately and profoundly, to keep and to treasure, isn't it? The gospel. And if you're somebody here this morning who would not call themselves a Christian or wouldn't say that you know Jesus personally, if that's you this morning, this is how you will see Jesus, by keeping that word. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, come to him. And the Spirit's work in this, in Jesus' word, is also in confirming that word. Did you see that later on? So keep reading with me. Verse 24. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, but they belong to the Father who sent me. So these are God's words. All this I have spoken, verse 25, while with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So at this moment, Jesus is just talking to his disciples, his apostles, and he's saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to remind you of everything I've said. So we've thought about how important God's words are. Well, we want to make sure we've got God's words, don't we? If listening to Jesus' word is that important, we're going to have to make pretty sure we've actually got Jesus' words. And God says, of course, I will send the Spirit, and among the disciples, he will bring to mind everything in clinical precision, so that the word that we keep and we listen to is from the apostles. It's an apostolic word. It's their word as recorded in the Bible, no less and no more. And so that means that we have that saving work of God. Because earlier on in the chapter, do you remember Jesus has said, my words are not my words, but the Father who does his work. So as we listen and keep Jesus' words, God is at work. And his work is to save people. And so Jesus is saying, look, by the power of the Spirit, you can have confidence that it's these words. It's not a pick and choose. It's not a quite like that bit when it talks about love and stuff. And then when it gets complicated, I'll just sort of bin that. No, Jesus is saying it's all of his words which are kept and preserved by the power of the Spirit. And we should have confidence in that. And we shouldn't pit the works of God over the word of God or the works of Jesus. Jesus obviously did many things in healing and miracles and looking after the sick and so on, but supremely it was his words and is how God is working. And we need to have confidence in it. So why will you not show yourself to the word world? Well, firstly, Jesus says, your love for the Son in that word keeping will reveal Jesus to you. And secondly, the Holy Spirit enables Jesus to be revealed in the Son's love for the Father. So we've looked at our love for the Son. Come back down to verse 27. Peace I leave with you, peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. So Jesus is saying, look, you've heard me saying I'm going away and I'm going to the cross and you're upset, but actually you should be rejoicing. Because it's a really good thing, Jesus says, that I'm going to go to the cross. And so the Spirit's work here, we've talked about him confirming these words. Well, what is Jesus' words? Have a look again at verse 28. You heard me say, Jesus' words, I am going away and coming back to you. Look at verse 29. I have told you now, before it happened, I've told you, my words have been saying things. Listen. Verse 30, I will not say much more to you now, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes to the world that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. So all the way through, Jesus is saying, guys, listen up. You've got to listen to my words. And all the time, his words have been talking about the cross because it shows, what does it show? It shows a lot of things, but here it doesn't even say it shows his love for us or his love for the world. What does it say? Verse 31. The world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. So in this little passage, Jesus dying on the cross is showing his love, particularly to God the Father. Because it's a sonship, obedient love. In eternity, Father and Son have the salvation plan that they agree on, that he would be sent to die for you and me. And Jesus says, look, I love the Father in my obedience, and we should be rejoicing in that. Why? Because his love is shown supremely, that the cross is good, not ultimately just for us, but it's the ultimate proof of Jesus' love in obeying the Son. And it's peace as well for us. Did you see that in verse 27? Peace I leave with you and peace I give you. We should be rejoicing in Jesus' love for the Son as he goes to the cross. And so therefore we want to be proclaiming that message. That is how the world is going to know Jesus' love. We're going to say, look at Jesus. He went to the cross out of love. That is how you're going to know and see Jesus as he's revealed in that love. One of the commentators that I came across, a guy called Don Carson, and he writes this. It's a really good sentence and very challenging for me in the week. He writes this. Christians have been far more alert to their own griefs and sorrows than to the things that bring their master joy. That's challenging, isn't it? Christians have been far more alert to their own griefs and sorrows than to the things that bring their master joy. So the disciples, much like us, are perhaps worried about our own lives, and I've got some trouble, Lord, please help me. And Jesus is saying, do you know what matters to me? Is that I go and die on the cross for you. And that brings him joy, that he goes back to his Father. Imagine if we had that laser focus of Jesus, to think, actually, Jesus going to the cross is such great joy. And it's incredible. That is a word to proclaim, isn't it? As Jesus has been saying, I've been saying I'm going. You've heard me say, I'm not going to say much more. My words are all about you guys understanding that I have to go to the cross. So for us, well, what will that mean for your discipleship, do you think? As you seek to be, if you're a disciple of Jesus, to follow him, to look to him, copy him, be like him. What will that mean to you? Keeping Jesus' word and proclaiming the cross that he rejoices in. What will it mean for our church vision? We're thinking about church vision in this season. What will it mean? We're going to have to think about that. We want to be keeping Jesus' word. We want to be cross-proclaiming. our idea of the gospel has got to contain these things, hasn't it? So the gospel is not, we don't just want people to come to faith and then do good works, because we're missing out this middle bit of discipleship and growing and serving Jesus, to know him and to love him and to be more like him. Jesus is not just looking for a task force to restore the world. He's not thinking, great, right, we need a great big army to restore the world, come to faith, and then I'll give you a whole load of jobs to do and we'll sort the world out. Jesus is looking for disciples who love him by keeping his word, and who know him deeply by the Spirit by keeping his word, who grow to be like him in proclaiming the cross, keeping Jesus' word, proclaiming the cross. A spiritually rich church will be a church which keeps the words of Jesus. And in doing that, you and I can know God. That's what Jesus is saying. And so the answer to a disoriented and haunted secular age is a world to know Jesus in the believer's love for him as we keep his word and as the cross is proclaimed. So there's a summary, if you like, of the passage. Judas's question, how will you show yourself, manifest yourself to us, Lord, but not to the world? Do you want to see Jesus? Well, his answer here in chapter 14 is keep his word. Do you want the world to see Jesus? Well, the answer from this passage is to proclaim the cross. And that is how Jesus will show himself to the world. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these words of Jesus. We pray that we would be those that long to know him more, to see him in his word as we keep, treasure it. Help us to see the joy and the love that he has for you as he goes to the cross, that he is now with you through resurrection and ascension. Help us to have his joy in that love of going to the cross, that that might be proclaimed to all those who are seeking, who are far from you, who you long to bring back to yourself. Please help us to be a church which keeps Jesus' word and proclaims the cross. In his name we pray. Amen.